Some while ago, Miss Moffitt gave us this lovely set of maps. We don't very often use them. Sometimes we have the occasion, this morning we have the occasion to use one of them. Now, I know you can't see them very well from the back, but it gives us some idea. We're going to turn to the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, if any of you can hear me talking, just put your hand up and I'll talk louder or do something with the PA system to make it come louder. But we're not taking enough advantage of the speakers that we have there. If you would like to have one little one of your own, we have some, and I can let you have one. Bring in your pocket each time, just plug it in. And those who use it tell me they can hear very well if they use those speakers there. Acts 17. Now, during the number of months now when I have been speaking here on Sunday, particularly Sunday morning, I have been talking about the Acts of the Apostles. And we've been trying to trace the movements of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in the Acts, in the establishing of the church. From the day of Pentecost, as it spread out, according to the Lord's rules, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. And our last talk was in Paul's second missionary journey, and we're going on with that today, God willing. Acts chapter 17. Now, when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath deceived. And these all go contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then, immediately, the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Now, can we see God's blessing again? Blessed God, we thank thee for this portion of thy precious word. We thank thee for the wonderful story of the work of the Apostle Paul under the leading of the Holy Spirit. We thank thee for his courage and strong will to go forward in thy will to preach the word despite much persecution. And we pray as we talk about his visit to Thessalonica and Berea this morning that the Holy Spirit of God might reveal some truth to us from thy precious word. We seek thy blessing in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, first of all, is this PA system working? It's not staying up at all. It's fuzzy.
I put this on because I want to go over there.
You can get it without that. Not the fuzzy.
All right, then we'll only put that on
when we go over there.
Well, let's go and talk about that first.
We left Paul last time in Philippi. Now, in the second missionary journey, they had journeyed from Antioch in Syria, right up over the mountains here, to what's called the Sicilian Gap, through the mountains. He did down here at Tarsus, at his home, and they came over here to where they had been on the first missionary journey. They went to Antioch, Lystra, where they shone in the desert, you remember, and all through that part, exhorting and helping the churches which the Holy Spirit had used them to establish on the first journey. And they came through and they were up around here somewhere. And Paul and Silas, and by now they've taken Timothy with them, picked up Timothy down here at Lystra, and Luke had also, Luke joined them here. And Paul's idea was to go this way. First of all into Asia, then further into the city, but the Holy Spirit said no. And they waited here down at Troas for the Lord to tell them what to do. And there appeared a man at night to Paul, a man of Macedonia, Europe. Now, the dividing line between Asia and Europe is up through here, what we call the Dardanelles today. It's called the Hellespont in those days. And through the Sea of Marmara and the Bosphorus into the Black Sea. And this side is Asia, and this side, in this division, is Europe. And so the Holy Spirit was saying, come on over into Europe. And this is how God was going to spread the gospel. He said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And he chose Paul especially to go to the Gentile nations. And so Paul and the party, Luke, I think, joined them here. And they, in 2 days, sailed across, first to the island of Samothrace, and then, landing at Neapolis, they went up to Philippi, where he was terribly treated, put in prison, beat in the stocks, and scourged. Remember the story. And where he led the person daily to Christ, where he led Lydia to Christ, and there was a church formed there, and they met in her house there. And the last thing we saw of Paul was in the house of Lydia. Then he leaves there, and comes passing two places on the way. He comes right down to Thessalonica. Thessalonica is a port, a very active and good port, sheltered up here in this nook up in here, this big bay. It's still a good port today, and that's the place Salonica. Salonica was used so much by the, particularly the British troops and the Australian troops in World War I. They landed here and went up into Macedonia. And then from Thessalonica, he came on to Berea. And even there, just there this morning, I hope, and maybe he came to Athens in Corinth. But this is the journey. The Lord is now bringing the gospel over into Europe, and he's spreading. So to give you some idea of the journey he made. So as I said, if you look at the last verse of the 16th chapter, 40th verse, it says, when they went out from the prison, that's in Philippi, they went out from the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. And they departed to Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica. Now the city of Thessalonica, I've already told you, is a seaport, very active today, and has been down through the centuries. All from there. But there was a synagogue at Thessalonica. Remember we pointed out that at Philippi there was no synagogue. And the two Jewish people that were at Philippi, they met, apparently they went out by the riverside and held meetings, prayer meetings, by the riverside. That's where they met Lydia. There's no synagogue there. But wherever there was a synagogue, Paul went first to the synagogue. In the 13th chapter, when he got to Antioch in Pisidia, he went to the synagogue. And here in Thessalonica it says, and I like the way because it explains it here. He came to Thessalonica where was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as his manner was, went in. Now Paul said the gospel is to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. And as a Jew, he always worked that way. His system, his method, it's called here his manner, as his manner was. Remember in the 20th chapter of the Acts, he's talking to the elders from Ephesus, he says, you remember what kind of manner, what my manner was there, working night and day, with prayers, how he visited in the homes and publicly he preached to them for 3 years in Ephesus. But here it says, his manner was to go to them first. So that in chapter 17, there was a synagogue, and he went to the synagogue first. When he got to Athens, there was no synagogue. When he got to Berea, if you look in verse 10, it says, the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea. Coming thither, they went into the synagogue. You turn over to chapter 18, when he gets to Corinth, it says, when he got to Corinth, verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue. That's what he did. He always went to the Jew first, and that's where he found the trouble. It's the Jews that persecuted him. But thank God, in each of those synagogues, many of the Jews believed. It's not mentioned so much about Thessalonica that the Jews believed, but evidently they did. You can tell by his writing, he wrote the two first epistles he wrote were the epistles to Thessalonica. First and second epistles to the Thessalonians. And he speaks there about their help with him and blessing, the way God blessed them there. Now it says three Sabbath days. I think that's true. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Three Sabbath days. I have heard preachers say that Paul stayed in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. I don't think that's true. I don't think he could possibly have taught them all the things he says he taught them in the first and second chapter. If you look at the second chapter of Thessalonians, and you see the amazing amount of stuff he taught them, and if they wouldn't listen to him in the synagogue, I think he stayed there quite a while. But I think the first 3 weeks, he went to the synagogue, then they turned him out. That's what happened in Antioch and Pisidia. He went to the synagogue, then they turned him out. And it says in the second epistle of Thessalonians, and, I'm going to put my finger on this now. He says that he had told them, he actually told them here, somewhere it says this, reminding them what he taught them about the coming of the Lord Jesus. But this is his coming in power. First verse of chapter 2. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together unto him, that ye be not shaken or troubled. Now,
neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. In this case, there were some who were writing as from him. They were not true. But he did write to them. And he even taught them all about the setting up of the Antichrist and the false worship, the false setup that will take place after the church is gone. And he actually tells them that this cannot take place. He that now hindereth will hinder till he be taken out of the way. And he's saying that the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the church is gone. He taught them all that in the time that he was down there at Thessalonica. I don't know how long he stayed, but I know three Sabbaths he went to the synagogue and preached to them. Now, I said preach, that's not quite true here. I want to look very carefully at the way it's put. You see, a preacher of the gospel has to adapt himself to the people to whom he's preaching it. Paul said, to the Jew I was a Jew. He's very careful. To the free I was free, and so on. He adapts himself to those people. And here he's talking to the Jews. And it looks to me he didn't get up and preach at them. He sat down and reasoned with them. I've made a note here that he had Bible readings with them. It says, Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. I think Paul got these Jews together. May not be only on the Sabbath days, but all those 3 weeks probably he was meeting with the elders of the synagogue there, and he was reasoning with them. He didn't go in and upbraid them. He didn't go in and accuse them with the murder of the Lord Jesus. That's what Peter did at Pentecost. So that was a different story. That was there in Jerusalem, just after the crucifixion. But this, here he gets these Jewish people together, and he takes the Old Testament scriptures, and he proves from the Old Testament scriptures that Messiah, now look at it, opening in the legend that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. So far he hadn't talked about the Lord Jesus. He's talking about Messiah. And every Jew was looking for the Messiah to come. And he's telling them they were looking for a king to come in power and glory, as he will by and by. But he's trying to teach them that once the Messiah will come by and by in glory, he had to come first as a suffering man. Now I say here that Paul and Peter are very much on the same level. If you remember in 1 Peter chapter 1, I think verse 11, Peter says that the Old Testament scriptures wrote about the sufferings of Christ. The Old Testament prophets wrote about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. And all the Old Testament scriptures are divided that way. First of all, the sufferings of Christ, and then the glory that should follow. And here Paul reasoned with them and said, Christ must needs have suffered at the sufferings of Christ. I imagine he was taking the types in Leviticus, the atonement, the slain animals, the blood that was shed, and talked about the sufferings of Christ. I imagine he was taking Psalm 22 and explained that Messiah, when he came, he would suffer. And he went into the details of that suffering and proved to them that the Messiah would be crucified and he came. Because it speaks about his hands and his feet, they pierced my hands and my feet. All that he would take from Psalm 22, he'd take Isaiah 53 and explain the sufferings of the coming Messiah. So far he hadn't talked about Jesus. He talked about the sufferings of the Messiah. And then we got them so far that they understood that when the Messiah came, he's going to suffer first, and then the glory that should follow. Then he applies the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And he said, this Jesus must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is the Messiah. The Hebrew word for the Messiah, the Greek, the New Testament word for Messiah is Christ, Christ is the anointed one. So is Messiah, the sent one. And so he's saying that the Lord Jesus fulfills all that the Old Testament wrote about the coming Messiah. And he proves to them that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now that's the message you've got to get over to a Jew. A Jew is probably, I suppose, probably the hardest person to win. But that's the message that we've got to get over to the Jews. And this is how Paul did it. He didn't shout at them. He didn't accuse them. He just quietly reasoned with them. When he got to, in the 18th chapter, you'll find in verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. That's how he did it. He reasoned with them. Had some Bible reading. Got the Bible open. Now there's no better way to study the Bible. I owe practically all I know from conversational Bible reading. When as a youngster, from 10 years of age until I left home at 25, except during a short period I was in World War I, every Wednesday night found me sitting at the feet of the elder brethren as they discussed the scriptures. Not preaching, but taking the verses and going by them verse by verse as we've been doing here and discussing and expounding the scriptures. That was my Bible school. That's where I learned. And I consider that the best place to learn. Wherever I have gone in my life, I've always set up a Bible reading, a conversation Bible reading. But we didn't do it at Pastor Pound. There's ever reasons why we didn't. Perhaps we ought to, even yet, set up a good conversational Bible reading one night in the week and go through the scriptures verse by verse. That's the best way to learn the Bible. That's why I like to preach this way. So he reasoned with them, opening and alleging that Christ, the Messiah, must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach is the Messiah. That's the message he brought to these Jews at Thessalonica. Now what was the result? It says, some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of those that believed, of the devout Greeks, there was a great multitude. I don't know how many that is. A great multitude of the devout Greeks. And of the chief women, not a few. So here's a nucleus formed by the Holy Spirit through the reasoning and the persuading and the talking of the Apostle Paul there in the synagogue. And a church came into being there in Thessalonica. And when we read the Thessalonian epistles, we can tell what a wonderful church it was and how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. That's what he taught them. Now then, the Jews. In that synagogue, there were many Jews that didn't believe. I suppose some did believe, yes. But they don't mention it. It says, some of them believed. That's in the synagogue. But in the synagogue, there were these people called Greeks. They were those who had embraced the Hebrew faith. And there were a lot of honorable women amongst them. You'll find in the next thing when we went to Berea, it speaks about the honorable women there who accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And the Jews which believed not, these were the troublemakers, they were moved with envy. They took unto them certain lewd fellows. I notice in the Greek it says certain wicked men. Certain wicked men. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. I take it that Paul and Silas, and it's strange here that you don't mention Timothy. When, in the 16th chapter, when they left Lystra, they took Timothy with them. And I'm convinced Timothy was with them all the way. And Luke joined them there, so I assume. But you don't mention Luke. Now, some have argued that Luke wasn't in this. I'll tell you why they argued. You see, we argue that Luke joined them In chapter 16, it says, and after he had seen the vision, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. And that's the first time we get this word, we. And since Luke is the writer, it's considered that Luke joins them there, where he says, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. But when he gets to the end of the 16th chapter, and starts the 17th, he says, they had passed through Amphalonia and went to Thessalonica. They. As if he wasn't with them anymore. And some have argued that he wasn't with them anymore. But I rather think that Luke went all the way with the Apostle Paul, even to his imprisonment in Rome. And that's how he wrote the book, he was with him. But Timothy had only read out, although when he writes to the Thessalonians, he sends the greetings to them from Timothy. So Timothy was with him anyhow, I feel sure. But you don't get his name mentioned. And the brethren immediately, now then, when they found him not, it seems that Paul and Silas were in the house of Jason. And the rulers of the city, they went to the house of Jason and couldn't find them. And when they couldn't find them, they drew Jason out. And certain of the brethren under the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath deceived. These all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And it troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And then they took a bond of them from Jason, and they let Jason go, and of course the brethren went too. And the uproar ended there, but the church was established, and the work of Thessalonica went on, as we can tell by the two epistles written to them. Now the next step was Berea. You see, the Holy Spirit is leading them on. And I want you to think for a moment. Here Paul and Silas come to Berea. I was trying to think, as I've been reading this week, if I put myself in Paul's place, and I came to a city like Berea, and I didn't know anybody there at all, what a job it would be. He's going there to preach the gospel. He's going there to establish a New Testament church. But you just put yourself in that position. You're going to a foreign city. He's a Jew. He's a Gentile. And he's away in Europe. He's always every nation. And there's a perfect foreigner and a stranger bringing a message which was altogether unknown, and he finds himself in a foreign city all alone. It's just the two of them, sending a pride at Athens. We should see that tonight, God willing. But there you are. How in the world would we start to do it? Physical problem. Now, many of our brethren find themselves sometimes in these days in a city. They look around. I remember when I went to Wilmington, Delaware in July 1952. And I got a job of work there. Or nearby, it says Newcastle, Delaware. And I had one object, one motive, to get an assembly started in Wilmington, Delaware. I remember that very week when I got there, and I read the letters of interest which came out that week. It said that it mentioned all the great cities in the United States with over 100,000 population and no assembly, as we call it, assembly there. And one was Wilmington, Delaware. And I said to the Lord, I know what you brought me here for. Now, how did you get about it? You say there's no assembly, so I go to some other church. Well, all right, if you're not convinced that the way we meet is the right way, then that's all right. But I'm convinced the way we meet is the New Testament way, and the way that Paul is teaching here. And that's why I'm going through the Acts of the Apostles to try and prove that the Holy Spirit works this way. And we're trying to follow the pattern given us in the Acts of the Apostles. And in 1952, July, I landed in Wilmington, Delaware. And I just got down on my knees and said, Lord, here I am. use me just as you like. And we got a few friends together and had some Bible reading. And out of that, the time came when I sent to all these friends a little letter, I have the copy now, saying that on a certain day, the first Sunday in April 1952, I went in 51, July, that we were going to meet together to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rented a little, beautiful little chapel in the YMCA in Delaware, and had our first breaking of bread meeting there. I remember I asked the Lord there'd be more men than women there, and there were. There were 5 men, 3 women, and that's how we started. Today there's a nice assembly, a lovely chapel built, and they're going on well for the Lord up there. But how do you do it? I'm trying to talk from the, why I'm talking to the Acts of the Apostles is to see how we have to do it. How do we get about building the church in this day in which we live? The Lord hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's methods are the same. Men have brought in their organizations and their methods and their ways. But you see, when Paul was sent out by the church from Antioch in Syria, he didn't go around and go to lots of places and get his support as they do today. He had nowhere to go anyhow, so the one he said to go to. But he didn't do that. He went out in faith. And you'll find when Bill Smith comes in tomorrow night, he went out in faith. He's got no support except what he asked the Lord for. Yet he got some people behind and said, I'll send you $30 a month, I'll send you $30 a month. That's how they do it, but that's not how God did it. And that's why we're talking from the Acts to prove that this is God's pattern and this is what we should follow. And so, Paul came to Berea. Came by night. He sent him by night to Berea. Now when he went there, he went to the synagogue of the Jews. Now, I'll talk about more about this, I hope, when we get to Corinth. Because I think at Corinth we get the ideal way to start a New Testament church. It's in Corinth. We'll talk about it more, but he went to the synagogue. The only contact he could have would be with the Jews, because he was a Jew, and he had a right to go to the synagogue, and in those days, he had a right to speak in it, because when he went to, in the 13th chapter, you remember, when he got to the synagogue, they said to him, after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, and then he preached to them. That was in Antioch, in Pisidia. So they went to the synagogue. That was the only contact they had. But there was a great difference between Thessalonica and Berea. It says that they were more noble. Now, that doesn't mean they were aristocrats or blue-blooded or anything like that. But the thing they did in God's eyes was more noble than the Thessalonians. You see, Paul persuaded the Thessalonians. Paul reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And when he got to Berea, it says they were more noble than in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. Now Paul reasoned with them in Thessalonica out of the scriptures, but these at Berea, they got their own Bibles, well, they had the Bible, they only had the Old Testament, of course. And they searched it out for themselves. They searched the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now that's the only way to grow. You get the Bible and search it on your own, and the Holy Spirit reveals it to you. And that's what they do. They search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. And God looked down from heaven today, even though those Thessalonians are wonderful, but these are more noble than the Thessalonians, because they take my word besides them, and they're reading it, and they're searching it, and that's the way to learn. When you lead a soul to Christ, the best thing to do is get that soul to start reading and searching the scriptures. And every one of us, never mind what our age are, we're getting up there now, but we have to do it still. Search the scriptures daily to see if these things are so. They search the scriptures daily, whether those things are so. Therefore, men earlier than believe. Now, I write that therefore, for they linked it up with searching the scriptures daily. Therefore, many of them believe. And I have observed, I've learned a lot in life by this observation, watching. And I have observed that those people will come to Christ along with the Bible and the Holy Spirit has revealed to them the way of salvation. They are stronger Christians than those you've got to persuade to come to the front and lead to Christ and preach to Christ. The ones who learn it along with the Holy Spirit and the Bible, they are stronger Christians. And I like the word therefore, which says, therefore, they search the scriptures daily whether those things were so, therefore, many of them believe. Why did they believe? Because they searched the scriptures daily. And God revealed it by the Holy Spirit from His book, and nothing could take that away from you. When you learn the way of salvation that way, you've got it for life and for eternity. They searched the scriptures daily, therefore, many of them believed, and among them, honorable women which were Greek, and of men, not a few. So here's another New Testament church form. In Berea. And once Paul and Silas, once they won a couple of souls to Christ, they had friends immediately. They went there all alone. But as soon as they won a few to Christ, what wonderful friends they had. You see, when they got to Philippi, they went out to the river side where the prayer was wont to be made. They met Lydia. They led Lydia to Christ, and then Lydia's home became the center. And I believe the first church was started in Philippi, in Lydia's home. And when they came out of prison, they entered into the house of Lydia. That was home for them now. Another thing I often think when Paul went on these journeys, I don't know how much money he could carry. I don't think he had any. When he couldn't get a job and work in his hands so he could live. But he had to rely a lot upon the Lord's people. But then when he went there and there was none of the Lord's people yet, there yet, nobody saved yet, it was a desperate position to be in. But he went and he kept on going. And a few get saved, and then he's all right. They'll look after him, all right. You take salvation to a person, they'll look after him. But the Jews of Thessalonica, these same Jews, when they had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, for Silas and Timotheus, so here Timothy's with him. Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So, that's how God used the Apostle Paul in those early days. This is on the second missionary journey, launching out now into Europe to bring the gospel into Europe. He goes to Philippi, he goes to Thessalonica, he goes to Berea. Now, God willing, tonight we'll find the Apostle Paul in the city of Athens. I particularly love this chapter because Vera and I spent 10 years in the city of Athens, and we know it on the back of our hand that we did in those days, and many and many and many a time we sat up there on Mars Hill and read this wonderful scripture. So may the Lord help us tonight as we go on to the story of the Apostle Paul in his second missionary journey. Blessed God, our Father, we thank Thee for showing us from Thy Word the simple plan Thou hast for building Thy church. We know, Lord, that every true born-again believer is in the body of Christ, and there is one body. But we are scattered all over the world, and there are little replicas of that body in each local church. And we ask, Lord, that we here might recognize Christ as the head of the church, and all we as members, and that we work together according to the pattern laid down in the New Testament. Help us, Lord, to put these things into practice day by day and week by week till the Lord comes. And we ask that all this out, send to us choice men and women of thine own born-again believers here to have fellowship with us, to build us up and to lead us on. We thank you for everyone here this morning, and we pray, Lord, that we might, like the Inferians, search the scriptures daily, to see if these things are so. We ask thy parting blessing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.